apostleship was that the Corinthians doubted that he was such an apostle. And the Apostle Paul must have heard that they doubted of his apostleship. So, actually, it's quite striking that Paul speaks in a frank and direct way, in a very strong way. You might say, well, that's not so nice. That's not the Christian attitude. Sometimes when someone is really gone the wrong way, you need to be strong. Mm-hmm. But the reason that he was so strong and so frank was that he had a pure spirit. Paul was absolutely pure. His spirit is very clean. It's pure, genuine, and honest. That's why he could be that way. But maybe sometimes we are polite. That's okay. But maybe we're political. Mm-hmm. And if we are, that shows we are not pure in our motive, in our intention. Maybe we want something from someone. Maybe we want to exalt someone so they do something for us. So that brings us to verse 4. Do we not have a right to eat and to drink? What is this? Right to eat and to drink? We all eat and we all drink. In the context, it means to have the right to eat and to drink, being supported by someone else. Someone else taking care of your eating and drinking. That is the point there. Verse 5. Do we not have a right to take along a sister as a wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? This is the right to get married. Then, verse 6, or do only I and Barnabas not have the right not to work? Not to work here refers to not having a job, being supported either by the church or by some believers. Then we come to verse 7. What soldier ever serves by his own wages? In using this metaphor, actually Paul was saying that the Corinthians were captives. They were captives of Satan. And Paul fought so that they could be set free. And then going on in verse 7, who plants a vineyard does not partake of its fruits? Who shepherds a flock and does not partake of the milk of the flock? So here, this indicates that the believers in Corinth were a vineyard to produce fruit and a flock shepherded by the apostles. So that brings us to verses 8 through 10. He says, am I speaking these things according to man, or does the Lord not also say these things? For in the law of Moses it is written, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it for oxen that God cares? Or does he say it altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope of partaking. So here we see in verse 11 that he is very strong in verse 11. If we have sown to you the spiritual things, this is a great thing. If we shall reap from you the fleshly things. And then that brings us to verse 12. If others partake of this right over you, should not brothers eat? Yet we did not use this right, but we bear all things, that we may not cause any hindrance to the gospel of Christ. So here we see why Paul did not depend on support from the Corinthians. Why he worked, and in other portions he tells us that he worked day and night so as not to be a burden to the Corinthians. This was not to cause any hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Then in verse 13, Paul again quotes the Old Testament and applies it to today's situation. But then in verse 14, Paul applies the New Testament principle to his situation. For instance, Luke 10, 7 and 8 mentions that those who preach the gospel should be supported by those to whom they preach the gospel. Then verse 15. Let's read this verse together. Here we see that no one shall make Paul's boast void. So the Lord's interests are Paul's interests. He's willing to sacrifice his rights and even to sacrifice his life for the sake of the believers. So Paul was not a person, not only a person one with God, but also a person with a pure heart and a pure spirit. Believers may have problems because they're complicated. But more so, believers may have problems because they are not pure. In this chapter, we need to be very impressed with the fact that Paul was so pure and genuine. You know, the Corinthians questioned him, and yet he didn't get mad. He didn't get upset. He just told them the facts. He was so pure. In their motives, thoughts, and feeling, the Corinthians were impure. But Paul in no moment got upset. In no moment got mad. He really was so pure in taking care of the Corinthians. As we read in verse 15, no doubt when the Corinthians were reading these verses, because this was an epistle written to them, they were thinking that Paul was going to say that he wanted to be supported. But in verse 15, he makes it clear that is not so. His only motive and intention was to care for the church and for Christ. He was pure to the uttermost. So that brings us to 2 Corinthians 12:14. Let's read this verse together.
이 구절을 함께 읽어보겠습니다.
오 구주시오,
여러분 여러분에게 갈 준비를 하였습니다. 여러분에게 책을 드리지는 않을 것입니다. 여러분이 구하는 것이 여러분의 소원이 아니라 여러분은 자신이기 때문에 그것을 저녁의 부모를 위하여 저축해야 하는 것입니다. 부모가 하늘을 위하여 저축해야 하는 것이기 때문입니다.
So here we see that again, Paul repeats, now this is the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul repeats that he would not be a burden to them. And it's interesting, he says, I do not seek what is yours, but you. Of course, if we shepherd new ones, if we minister to the saints, likewise, we should not seek their money. That would be absolutely wrong. But we should seek them. This is very clear. Here we don't have doctrines, but we have something so practical. So now we come to verse 15.
여러분은 위에서라면 나 자신을 나의 소유물로 기쁘게 소비하는 나 자신까지도 다 소비할 것입니다. 내가 많이 사랑하시고 뭘 해야 되겠습니까?
This verse really touches me. Paul says here, he's not only willing to use what he has, everything he has, for the sake of the believers, the Corinthians. But he also says, I be utterly spent on behalf of your souls. My goodness. How do we feel about this? We have new ones. We have saints who are shepherding. Are we willing to utterly spend for them? This is quite a word. We need to be deeply impressed by this. That we should be those who are available to the new ones, available to those we shepherd. How we need to see this. Paul was willing to sacrifice himself, his soul, even his life, his entire being for the believers. So are we willing to take this? We should spend whatever we have, and we should utterly be spent for those we shepherd. One practical point. Our schedule should be made according to the new one's availability, whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient. We should be willing and able to give them our time. Again, whether it's convenient or it's not convenient. May the Lord search our hearts. How are we taking care of those we shepherd? Are we this way? Or are we only taking care of them when we are available, when it is convenient for us? May the Lord show us how we need to show such love for the ones we take care of. Regardless of the situation, we need to have a heart for the new ones. Sometimes we may even have a heart for the new ones, but maybe we forget them. So this brings us to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Again, here we see Paul's testimony. Let's read this verse together.
이스라엘 여러분을 향하여 어렵고 일곱
Here Paul mentions three things: holy, righteous, and blameless.
거룩하고
의롭고 towards God, righteous towards man. And blameless towards all, God, man, and Satan. Do you think this is easy to do? Surely, Paul has self-control. He really had self-control so he could be holy and righteous and blameless. He had strict control over himself. Do we do that? You know, sometimes humans are full of questions. Does that make us upset? Or maybe it doesn't make us upset, but we try and take it lightly. When the new ones bring questions, we need to be in spirit.
Why?
Because we need to discern in those questions whether it's an opportunity to bring in the truth or whether it's just a mental exercise. Surely, if it's to bring in the truth, we should take care of it. But if it's a mental exercise, we leave it for later. So this is the way we should take care of the new one, especially of the questions that they ask. Actually, it's so good for new ones to ask questions. It's a real opportunity so that they can be clear about the truth. So this brings us to Because he has begotten them in the gospel. But here, in this metaphor, he presents himself as a mother travailing to give birth. This is really something. The painful labor in childbirth. What is the point here? The point here is that the Galatians had been led to the Lord by Paul, but then the Judaizers came, and we actually see this in the Galatians, the epistle to the Galatians itself, that they really had been distracted by the Judaizers. So Paul, because of that, says he's travailing again in birth until Christ is formed in you. Very interesting. What does this mean? When Paul preached the gospel to the Galatians, they received the Lord. They were saved, which means they received the divine life. So Christ was in them, but Christ was not formed in them. For Christ to be formed in us, we need to mature. So here we see that it's not sufficient to preach the gospel. It's not sufficient for us to shepherd people into the church, and we pray so much that they will be remaining fruits. But we need to take care that Christ be formed in them, that they would mature in life. So here we see that the living person of Christ was Paul's ministry. It's not so easy to minister Christ, right? We have to be in spirit, we have to have self-control. This is something that is not so easy. So here, because the Galatians have been deceived, and you can see that in verses 9 to 11, Paul labored again to establish them, to build them up. This requires labor and suffering. And this brings us back to last week's message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, many of us were touched by this phrase, love builds up. How we need love, the love of the Lord, to take care of one another, to pray for one another, to help one another, because we're all members of the one body of Christ. So how we need the love of God. So then this brings us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 to 9. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. So, Paul presents himself as a pattern. Now, I would not recommend that you follow any man. This has to be very clear. We don't follow men. We follow the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. However, here Paul is such a pattern that it is helpful for us to realize we do need what Paul had, that we could be a pattern to those we take care of, to those we fellowship with. So we need to do this, but actually there's a word that Paul gave that could be helpful at this point. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, Paul said, hold fast the things that have been handed down, even as I handed them down to you. By things, Paul means what they had received and what they had read in the epistles, the teaching and the instruction. This we should follow. And I would thank the Lord for His mercy, that in His recovery the truth is rich, the truth is available. We have so much written material that we should be constituted with the truth. And therefore, we will not have questions. We will not have an impure heart. Then, a tiny review. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20 and 24. Verse 20 says, each one in the calling in which he was called, in this let him remain. And 24, each one, brothers, in what status he was called, in this let him remain with God. We were very touched by verse 24. Why? Because we saw that actually everything in our life, everything in our living is arranged by our sovereign Lord. I could give a testimony that when I heard the word cancer, I was so comforted, realizing that even that was arranged by the Lord, and surely the Lord took care of it, especially through the prayers of all the saints. So here we see that we need to remain with God regardless of our situation. We don't need to change our situation. You may say, well, my situation is poor. Well, we'll come to that in a minute. In Philippians
chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Let me read these verses together. But I am happy because you have started to think about me. Because you have been thinking about me, it's not a new thing. Actually, you have been thinking about me for a long time. I didn't have a chance to do this. 만족한 것을 배웠기 때문입니다. 나는 빈천한 상태에 있을 줄도 알고 풍부한 상태에 있을 줄도 알게 되었습니다. 배부르거나 배고프거나 풍부하거나 부족하거나 각각의 일과 모든 일에 있어서 나는 비결을 배웠습니다.
What we have here is that the church in Philippi supported Paul when he was in prison. But there was a time that they didn't send anything. And that's why it says in verse 10, you have caused your thinking for me to blossom anew. They brought in a care package. Now, the thing is that verse 11 is such a marvelous verse. How I wish all of us could say this. I have learned in whatever circumstances I am to be content. Knowing that God takes care of all our situations, we need to be content. And how wonderful it is to be content, to be at peace, to be at rest, to enjoy the Lord, regardless of all our circumstances. This is really marvelous how we need to see that here in verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly because now and then you have caused your thinking for me to blossom anew. So there was a time sovereignly arranged by the Lord when Paul did not receive anything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, people could change their status. They could do this, they could do that. But with Paul in prison, he had no choice. He couldn't do anything. And then when the church in Philippi didn't send anything to him, he really was abased. He really was humbled No doubt the guards would see that he had nothing. But he says in verse 12, in everything and in all things, I have learned the secret both to be filled and to hunger, both to abound and to lack. No wonder that he could say he was content. Brothers and sisters, we need to be content. If we are content, regardless of our circumstances, we can glorify our Lord. If we complain about our circumstances, actually we're complaining about our Lord, and we're putting Him to shame. So we need to learn this matter, because our circumstances are always sovereignly arranged by the Lord. So, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for this word. It's the word of God. It wasn't easy, but even so, it has something for us. And now we will have the announcements.